Hi, my name is Dr. Lillian Nejad. Welcome to this 10-day course which focuses on overcoming insomnia. Getting enough sleep is absolutely necessary for your health and well-being, and a prolonged lack of sleep can have a negative impact on all aspects of your life. This course will help you identify, manage, and overcome insomnia with effective evidence-based strategies so that you can sleep well and live well. Each lesson in this course will target a different factor that can interfere with your sleep, including your bedroom environment, what you do during the day, what you do before you go to bed, unhelpful thinking habits, and other problems and disorders you may have that may be affecting your sleep. During this course, be sure to take advantage of the course classroom, where you can ask me questions and interact with other students. After doing this course, you will be able to identify whether you in fact have insomnia. You will be able to use evidence-based strategies that help manage your environment and your thoughts, behaviors, and emotions to improve your ability to fall asleep and stay asleep. And you will be able to ascertain whether self-help is sufficient or whether you require specialist professional treatment to overcome insomnia. As a clinical psychologist for over 20 years, my mission is to impart science-backed skills and strategies for a variety of issues that have an impact on mental health and well-being. I aim to do this in an accessible, genuine, and engaging manner that fosters positive change for everyone involved. That includes you, so let's get started. Hi, my name is Dr. Lillian Nejad. Welcome to this 10-day course on Insight Timer, which focuses on overcoming insomnia. In the first lesson, you will learn some important facts about sleep. Sleep is one of our basic needs, like food and water. Sleep is so vital for our survival that our bodies function best when we spend a third of our life doing it. Fun fact, if you live to 81, you'll spend 27 years sleeping. Not only do we need sleep to function, a good night's sleep has a number of health benefits, the most important of which is that we are likely to live longer and suffer less from age-related physical and cognitive decline. Here are some other benefits of sleep. Sleep helps your brain work properly by forming new neural pathways that assist with memory function, learning, and problem-solving. Sleep has a positive impact on attention, decision-making skills, and creativity. Dreaming may be a way of processing your emotions when you sleep. Sleep is also involved in healing. During sleep, your body is busy repairing your cells and tissues, organs, and blood vessels. Sleep removes toxins in your brain that build up while you are awake. Sleep can help regulate your emotions. Sleep can help regulate your hormones, including those involved in appetite. It also assists growth and development, especially in growing bodies. Sleep also ensures that your immunity system operates efficiently and effectively. Ultimately, sleep has a restorative function for both mind and body, helping us to feel energized during the day and allowing us to be more productive at work, school, or at home. Conversely, the lack of sleep increases your risk for a number of mental and physical health conditions. A chronic lack of sleep can have a detrimental impact on your daily functioning, your emotional well-being, and your physical health. Some ways a lack of sleep can impact your daily functioning are that you can't think clearly. It can decrease your reaction time. It affects your ability to concentrate, plan, and make decisions. You can feel mentally and physically tired during the day. You may have poor work performance and productivity. Insomnia can also impact your emotional health. It makes you grouchy. It increases emotional distress and anxiety. It can increase your risk for depression. Extreme sleep deprivation can even lead to psychotic symptoms and can trigger manic episodes in people with bipolar disorder. Recent research has shown that poor sleep can have both short and long-term consequences on your physical health. But more research is needed to substantiate the following claims. It can increase the risk of high blood pressure, the risk of heart disease, the risk of weight gain and obesity, the risk of type 2 diabetes. It can also increase your risk of injury in terms of falls or if you're driving or at work. It can also suppress your immune system, which increases your risk for infections. So what happens when we sleep? There are a number of brain structures involved in sleep, including the hypothalamus, the brainstem, the thalamus, the cerebral cortex, the pineal gland, the basal forebrain, the midbrain, and the amygdala. Going into detail about how these different structures function during the sleep process are beyond the scope of this course. However, it is useful to know some of the basics, including the stages of sleep and the biological mechanisms involved in falling asleep and waking up. First, let's talk about sleep stages. There are four stages of sleep, but they can be divided into two basic stages: rapid eye movement, also called REM sleep, which is one stage, and non-REM sleep, which is three stages. An adult experiencing a good night's sleep will cycle through the four stages of non-REM and REM sleep about five times, with the REM stage becoming longer as the night goes on. Stage one is a short period of non-REM sleep, usually lasting less than 10 minutes. This is a time of light sleep, when your body and brain are slowing down, but you can still be easily woken. Stage two is still a period of light non-REM sleep, just before deep sleep, when your body continues to relax and your brain continues to slow, with some brief increases in wave frequency. Your body temperature also drops, as well as your eye movements. Stage three of non-REM sleep is a period of deep sleep. This is when your heartbeat and breathing are at their lowest levels, when there is no eye or muscle movement, and this is when it is more difficult to wake you up. Stage three sleep has a restorative function when the body is repairing itself and boosting your immunity, and it is the stage you need to feel rested and refreshed in the morning. REM sleep. REM sleep occurs about 90 minutes after falling asleep. It's called rapid eye movement sleep because your eyes move rapidly from side to side behind closed eyelids. This is the stage when you dream. During this stage, your brainwave activity looks a lot like it does when you're awake. Your body is also behaving almost like it is awake, with breathing becoming faster and your heart rate and blood pressure increasing. However, your muscles become paralyzed so that you don't act out your dreams. REM sleep is important for memory consolidation, storing information from your day into your long-term memory. The duration of these phases will vary at different life stages. In other words, an infant's sleep cycle will look different than that of an adolescent, an adult, or elderly person. For an adult, you are likely to move through these phases in a sequential pattern, 4 to 6 times a night, with non-REM sleep occurring more early in the night and REM sleep increasing as morning approaches. Now let's talk about the two important biological mechanisms involved in regulating sleep patterns: circadian rhythms and homeostasis. Circadian rhythms are changes that occur in your body and mind that follow a daily cycle. These rhythms are mainly influenced by changes in light. We have what is called a master clock in our brain, called the SCN, located in the hypothalamus. This part of our brain receives direct input through our eyes, which signals the SCN to produce melatonin. When it is dark, the SCN produces more melatonin to make us sleepy. Therefore, circadian rhythms influence the timing of sleep. By both detecting internal biological changes in the body and brain, and through the influence of certain environmental cues, especially light. The other important biological mechanism involved in sleep is called sleep-wake homeostasis, also called homeostasis sleep pressure, which is your body's way of maintaining balance in regard to the quantity and quality of your sleep. Sleep-regulating substances build up in the body when you are awake, increasing the pressure to sleep as it accumulates. The substances dissipate only if you sleep. The process ensures that you get sleep after a certain period of time and makes sure you sleep longer or more deeply if you have been sleep-deprived. So what does all this information about sleep amount to? Simply put, your body is programmed to sleep for about 8 hours every night via a number of internal mechanisms, and some of these processes rely on external cues to function efficiently and effectively. If any of these internal or external factors are not present or not in sync, you may experience insomnia. How much sleep do you need? The amount of sleep that people need varies according to age, with newborns needing the most sleep, about 14 to 17 hours a day, and adults age 65 and over needing the least amount, about 7 to 8 hours a day. Everyone has their own optimum number of hours they need to function at their best, but most adults need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. You can work out your own optimum sleep levels by keeping a simple sleep log. Write down how many hours you have slept, and rate how rested you feel when you wake up. If you feel rested and have energy, then you are sleeping enough. If you feel groggy and fatigued, then you may need more sleep. If you are getting enough hours of sleep and still feel groggy, you should consult a doctor to rule out another condition like sleep apnea. What's important, quantity or quality? If this question is posed about sleep in general, then the answer is, of course, both are important. We need a certain amount of sleep, and sleep needs to be sufficiently restorative in order for us to function well. However, in relation to insomnia, although both remain important, there is far more evidence supporting focusing your efforts on achieving the optimal quantity of sleep. Why focus on quantity over quality? The main reasons are, there is a wealth of research to support assertions made about how many hours of sleep are necessary and ideal. There is far less research to support claims about how to ensure sleep quality or about how sleep quality is related to the occurrence and treatment of insomnia. Also, the definition of sleep quality and the way that it is measured vary widely among studies, making it difficult to make reliable conclusions. Most research on sleep quality have not included participants with insomnia. So, if you come across suggestions about when or how you should sleep to improve the quality of your sleep, just know that they are probably based on emerging data rather than a solid evidence base. That doesn't mean these claims are false, just that we need more high-quality studies before we can affirm that they are true. The aim is to present information and strategies that are based on sufficient evidence. Therefore, in working towards overcoming insomnia, the focus will be on achieving the quantity of sleep that you need and want. We've come to the end of Lesson 1 on Facts About Sleep. In Lesson 2, we will cover how to figure out whether your insomnia is a problem or a clinical disorder, and how to approach improving your sleep most effectively as you progress through this course. Thank you for listening, and talk to you soon.